Thank you. Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 94, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Thy mercy and thy truth, O Lord, transcend the lofty sky, and thy judgments are a mighty deep, and as the mountains high. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 94.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, and there of John 17. But first, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep that through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we may try to remember thy church, but it is all with great shortness. But we have heard out of thy word how that thou dost remember thy church before thy own Father, so that thou dost care for them even still today, as when thou wast here upon this world. Those which were given unto them, unto him, he has kept. Oh, that thou may look upon those still in this day, for thou didst supplicate not only for them, but also for those who would believe on him through their word. O thou knowest thy church then over the length and breadth of this whole world. They are not of the world, yet they are sent into the world, even as thou wast sent into the world. And thou knowest how that they feel that world to be in their heart, and that world was not in thy heart. O thou hadst everything that thou couldest forsake the world, but we have that world continually within us. O Lord, look upon us when we must fight a warfare that we have no strength in ourselves. Wilt thou help then and teach the hands to war and the fingers to fight? And wilt thou give an increase in that battle for the longer thy church does live here upon this world, then the more they see that must be fought against. Then they need more and more that faith in thee to be in exercise, that they might see that they cannot sanctify themselves, but that they are sanctified in thee. Wilt thou then instruct and teach and lead more and more into the blessedness that is to be found in thee, all that thou hast accomplished for thy church, that it may be a comfort unto them who still have to fight in that militant church, that they may yet finish their course here below, and that they may be received into that church triumphant, there to see thee as thou art, there to be so fully sanctified that sin shall be no more within and sin shall be no more without, to encumber them, to bear them down to the dust in this world. O Lord, thou knowest the place of each of thy own, and the sorrows that do encompass them, and the lack that lives within their heart, or the fears that they do cherish within. O Lord, the attacks also of the prince of darkness, that thou mayest instruct thy children more and more, that they may be given truly to seek for that wisdom that cometh from above only, that thy word may be more and more unto them as an instruction in thy truth, and that they may be given to learn therefrom day by day in the practice of life, and that thou may give unto them a place more and more at the foot of thy dear Son, that they may be given to, by grace, make use of that blood that thou hast shed upon that cursed tree. Then there is so much that is laid away for that people, and so little that they make use of here below, so much that does draw them away, that does make thy church go over the world with a closed mouth, so that they are so little as a city upon an hill and a light upon a candlestick, but that thou wouldest remember them in the days in which we live, and that they also may be an example unto others that are about them, that more and more thy kingdom may come, and that it may increase in this world, and may it be also in the midst of us. For we are traveling quickly together to our last end here in this world, and that our breath must one day depart from us, and we know not the day of our death, but wilt thou give us that hastening for our life's sake, and that alone thy Spirit is able to work in a man, and that we may see truly what our state and our condition is, and that we may feel the urgency of the need of our souls, and that we may go into our inner chamber to beg of thee, that thou mayest give us life from the dead, that we may seek the portion which thou hast laid away for thy people, and that a holy jealousy may be born in our heart, and that sin may become a burden, and that repentance may become sweet, and that thy dear Son may become everything, yea, altogether lovely in the eyes of those who have sinned against thee, and who are not able to make it right between thee and their soul. Oh, that that number also may increase amongst us, that may be given truly to confess the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, in whom thou sayest thou art well pleased, that he may be magnified and glorified in the hearts of sinners, and that thy name altogether as that triune God may be glorified here below in its beginnings, and that thou wouldest bring in thy people, for the earth also goes unto its end, and then the signs are more and more being fulfilled, and that we and our children do live in that last time. Oh, that thou mayest remember the youth and the children, give them also that hastening that is not living within the human nature as we have been born. Then everything in this world does draw our heart, and Satan does whisper in the ears the lies that he has told unto our first parents, so that everything here below does glitter for a young man and for a young woman in this world. Everything that shall soon disappoint, everything that shall soon pass away, when they themselves must pass away, and when the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and the elements of this world shall be burnt up, and that thou wilt purify all things to give a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, that we may long for that day, when sin would be put away out of this world, and when then righteousness shall reign, that thou thyself shall reign, and when the prince of darkness shall be bound and be cast into that bottomless pit forever and forever, and no more come against thy kingdom. O Lord, wilt thou give us longing in our hearts more and more for these things, that we may put away that which is so vain and carnal and passing, and that the things of eternity may be bound upon our souls together. And wilt thou remember all the needs and the cares of this life? For thou dost care for thy church as the apple of thine eye, and in thy common grace dost care for each and every one of us. O Lord, thou dost give us to seek it at thy throne of grace, that we may be given to receive it out of thy right hand and not out of thy left hand. That thy great goodness, long-suffering, and graciousness in this world may break our hard and stony hearts, that we may receive a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and that we may be so brought with weeping and with supplications to thy blessed footstool. Remember those that mourn. Thou knowest the places of each and every one of them, and how miserable a comforter that man is. But thou alone art able to supply for the needs that have come through all of our own sin, and that thou wouldst in thy mercy remember all that are afflicted, sick, handicapped, difficulties, mind and body, that are suffering from addictions. Thou knowest the place of each and every one of them. And when day to day is in an outward way also a warfare and a burden, also for those who have become old, and when the grasshopper has become a burden, when they are afraid of the things that are high, O Lord, that thou may supply for them, and that thou mayest visit them in thy mercy in the days of old age, that thou mayest grant thy grace also unto them. Wilt thou remember us in this afternoon? Help thou us, O Lord, to open thy holy word. Give us the unction of thy Holy Spirit, that we may bring forth things new and old out of thy holy law, that the ears may be opened, that they may be pierced by thee, and that the heart may be opened to attend unto the things that are spoken out of thy word, and that we may go from this place different than that we have come in, and that life may be born by the power of thy most Holy Spirit, and that thy name may be magnified and our souls delivered from all sin, from the world, and from Satan. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Father, the hour is come. What hour was that? You know that, children? You say maybe the hour of his death. That is right. But it is more, because it is also the hour the Lord Jesus says, glorify thy Son. It is the hour that the Lord is going to fulfill what he has decreed in that great and never-ending eternity, in the salvation of his own elect. Father, the hour is come. That was the hour that the church has anticipated for 4,000 years. That was the hour that the Lord had determined from eternity that the Son and the Father would fulfill the demands that they had promised, covenanted one to another. Father, the hour is come. The hour we read that the Father will glorify the Son as the repairer of the breach for his fallen church, that the Son may glorify the Father, that the Son may bring in all those vessels of mercy that were, we read, aforehand prepared for glory. So Christ prays. He prays for what? He prays for the fulfillment of the counsels of God. Are they doubtful? No. But Christ prays with his disciples. He prays for his disciples, not only the disciples that are standing there with him, but also those who would believe on him through their word. Thus, that prayer is given unto those disciples, and it is given also in his word unto his church, because in that prayer there is so very much instruction for his church, which we wish to consider something of in this hour. You can find our text in the third verse, John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So far the words of our text. Life eternal. First, the knowledge of the only true God. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Second, knowledge of Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Life eternal. Knowledge of the only true God. Second, knowledge of Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him power to give eternal life. How many of us are here? How many of us desire eternal life? Do you desire that? And can you give that to yourself? Eternal life. There are many in this world who say yes, or so that they act as if they are able to give themselves eternal life. What do we read here? Christ, he says, the Father hath given to me that power. Thus, that is a great power, a power that is denied unto fallen mankind, a power that is given by the Father unto his own Son. He says, over all flesh. That is not only over all of the Jewish nation, but over the entire world, Jew and Gentile, the power to give unto them eternal life. Unto how many? He says, not unto all. He says, as many as thou hast given unto him. Them he has power to give life. You say, then why does he find fault? Who has resisted his will? Well, congregation, the rest do not desire eternal life. You say, I desire eternal life. Is that right? Do we really desire eternal life? What is that? What is eternal life? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thus the Lord says what eternal life is. He defines what it is. Thus we may now examine ourselves. And we may look in our heart, each and every one of us. And we may ask ourselves if we truly desire eternal life, or if there is actually something else that we desire in the world or in the church that is not actually eternal life. The Lord Jesus says life eternal that consists of knowledge, that they might know. Congregation, do we desire knowledge? Solomon, he speaks about crying after knowledge, about lifting up your voice for understanding. Do you do that, children? Young people, fathers and mothers? Do we cry after knowledge? Do we lift up our voice for understanding? Do we seek knowledge as silver? Do we hunt for that knowledge as we would hunt for gold and all the material things that are in this world, that they might know, that is, eternal life. Not that they might have this or that thing, but that they might know. Knowledge is what we have lost in our fall. The loss of knowledge is our death. Do you ever feel that? Because if the Lord converts us, then we are going to feel immediately something that will be our ignorance, that we lack knowledge. And not only so, but we are going to feel the significance of our lack of knowledge. That it is that lack of knowledge which actually is our death. And this is life eternal, that they might know. That they might know what? Is that important? That they might know what? Oh, that is most important. Because men do seek for all kinds of knowledge in this world. What do you want to know? Are you young? What do you want to know? Where do you go to get it? We know that today, we used to have the encyclopedias on our shelves when we were young. But not anymore. Oh, then we go to the computer, and there we look up on the computer. Do you know what the Bible says? That in the end of time, knowledge shall increase. Is that not true? As never before in the history of the whole world, all that knowledge is available to all of us. In just a moment, I have not to write things down. You can look them up again. Knowledge shall increase. What do you want to know? And Solomon says that of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness to the flesh. Oh, do you ever feel it? With all the knowledge that you can find in this world. And what does Solomon say? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, he says. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Oh, fear God, revere Him, stand in awe of Him, be afraid of Him, reverence Him, worship Him. Fear God. Do you fear God? We cannot fear God unless we know Him. We can read in the Bible of the king of Assyria that he sent heathen to live in Samaria. But we read that the people feared not God. And the Lord sent lions among the people that destroyed them. And so that king of Assyria was given advice to send one of the priests that they may go and teach that people the manner of the God of the land. Why? That they may know God and that they may fear Him. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. Do we desire to know Him above all the other things in this world, in order that we may fear Him? The Lord Jesus, He says, there is one only true God. Do you believe that? The world says very different. The world believes the lie of the devil, as the devil has said to our parents already from the beginning. He is the liar from the beginning. He continues in so many different ways. that he makes lies about who is that true God. He whispers that sometimes in our heart, even that there is no God. Did he ever whisper that in your heart? Nature teaches us that there is a God. David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night utter knowledge. There is no language where the voice of the heavens is not heard. Everyone can hear the nature speak about the existence of God." And your conscience, when our conscience speaks, and the conscience of everyone in the whole world speaking about immorality, even when that word of God is not had by them, then that conscience speaking about those same immoral things that the Lord lays out in his Ten Commandments, all pointing to that standing before God in the end of our life. Guilt. Guilt that is felt within the conscience of each and every one. But do you know what nature does not teach? Who that God is. Who that God is. Is that not an awful thing? When a man would feel in his conscience the existence of God, but a man would have no idea who that God is. What that God requires. Do you know what that is? That is death. The Lord Jesus, he says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." What does it mean to know him? That is, in the first place, that we may know him in his attributes. Children, if you say, "Do you know my brother?" And then how will you say who your brother is? You'll begin to describe your brother. What are the characteristics of my brother? What does it mean to know God? Well, that is, in the first place, to know God in his attributes. The devil, he makes men to think or to believe that God is whom actually he is not. He said to our first parents, "Thou shalt not surely die." Well, what did he say? God is not just. He's not just. God is not true to his word. He said it, yes, but he will not do it. Thus, he tries to make man think God is who that he is not. "For God doth know that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt become like gods, knowing good and evil." Thus, God doth know, God has motives which are evil, which he has hid from you. Do you see what Satan does? To try to make a man believe that God is who he is not. Do you know what they say today? God is love. Is that right? Yes, that is right. But that is not the whole truth. That is only part of the truth. And thus it is a lie. Because it does not tell us who God really is. The Lord Jesus condemned the Pharisees. Why? because they misrepresented God. They said, if you do not do this or you do this, that is against God. But God had never said it. Thus, it is a lie. They were condemned by Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. Where do we learn who is that only true God? Children, you know, you say we learn of Him in His Word. That is right. How pitiful it is when a man is without the Word of God. Then he cannot know. Nature doesn't tell him. Only certain things about Him. Without that Word, he cannot know. Do you ever feel how pitiful that is? John Eliot was a missionary. He worked among the natives in the English colonies. And there was once an old native. He was actually a powwow, one who led those powwows. Maybe you have seen something like that among the natives. That is not just a neutral thing. No. Eliot had to instruct those natives in the evil of those things. And that man, he had said at one point, that old man, he said, how is it that you English, you have been here for 27 years, and that only now you do teach us to know God? Or he says, some of us have grown old in sin. Do you know what Eliot said to him? He said, we repent. We repent of this. He says, and yet, you did not want to hear about the knowledge of this God until now. O congregation, do we ever feel the feel for those who know not God? How blessed we are that we know Him. Is that right? Is that right, young people? Will you dare to say that? You can say things so easy today. We are Christians. What does that mean? Outwardly, yes. But what does it mean? Do we know Him? Do we know the only true God? Certainly we know some outward things of that only true God. But is that now the extent of that which the Lord Jesus is speaking about here when He speaks about the knowledge of God? Knowledge, young people, you know what that is, right? The soul, you say, the intellect, knowledge, and then the will and the affections, the soul, the three aspects. What does the Lord Jesus speak about here? Does He speak about knowledge over against the will and the affections to distinguish them? No. Here the Lord Jesus uses the word knowledge to actually include all of them. All of them together. And when He speaks about what it means to know God, thus He says that knowledge that includes the intellect, but also love. Love. The affections. And also the will. The choice of man. Thus, eternal life that is not received by a man when he may only know God in his mind, when he only receives some instruction in his intellect, without receiving a love for God in his soul, without his will being entirely renewed, that it may seek after God. Thus, when he speaks about this knowledge, he speaks about the saving knowledge of God. He speaks about the most personal and intimate knowledge that a person can have, an experiential knowledge, the knowledge that is between a man and his wife when they come together as one, that is, in the marital bond. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. To know him, that is not only to know him in his attributes, but that is also to be united unto him, that is, to love him. To love him with all our might, with all our strength, with all our soul. To love God. To love him more, children, than your father and your mother. Do you desire that? Fathers and mothers, to love him more than your dear children. Than your husband, than your wife. Do you desire that? To love him above all? That is now, the Lord Jesus says, eternal life. What is it? To know God. This is life eternal, that they might know thee. The only true God, that is, that our will may make a choice for him. Do you desire that? Do you desire eternal life? That is our question today. Do we desire that our will would make always the choice for him? Not the choice for our flesh. Is that a burden to us? When we feel that our will is not one with the will of God. And that we do not want to bow under that will of the Lord. Do we desire eternal life? What is to know him? Oh, that is to serve him. To serve him. That is the purpose of our creation. Do we desire that? What do you want to do, young people? What do you want to do? Do you want to do his will? So I want to do this or that. Do you want to do his will? Do you want to do his commandment? Do you desire eternal life? To know him, that is to commune with him. What is necessary to commune with him? God is a spirit. He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Do you desire this? Is that a burden to your soul? That your heart cleaves to everything that is here below? Or is that not a burden? Or do you not desire to have a spiritual life? A life of prayer, to know him, that is to hear his voice. Do you desire this? Do you desire that the Lord will speak unto your soul? Did you ask for this before you came to God's house in this day? Oh, Lord, maybe I've come so many times in my life and I've never heard thy voice in a personal way. Oh, Lord, wilt thou speak unto me? Wilt thou give me life in my soul, that I may hear thy voice? Do you desire this? Do you desire eternal life? What is it? Oh, that is a life of intimacy. That is a life where we also may come in that inner chamber, and that we may lay all our needs before him, and that we may experience that the heaven is not brass, but that that prayer is heard by God. The Lord heard me out of his holy hill. That communion, oh congregation, do we actually desire eternal life? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. That is that life that is eternal. It is spiritual. It is begun here on earth. It never ends. Is it not a wonder that it is possible? Possible that a mere creature, a sinful creature, can receive eternal life? God could commune with him. So high has God created his creatures, so low have they fallen that there is no access to it anymore. No access unto eternal life. No access unto that knowledge of God. Is that a burden to you? Is that a grief for your soul? Do you weep tears over this? Oh, for such there is a remedy. We want to consider that after we sing from Psalter 116. All the stanzas, as pants the heart for cooling streams when heated in the chase, so longs my soul, O God, for thee. And I, refreshing grace, 1 through 4 of 116. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Our second thought, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, whom he sent. There is no knowledge of the only true God outside of knowledge of Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. He was sent for that very purpose, that they might know that only true God. The Apostle Paul calls him the express image of his person. That is, that God reveals himself, who he is, that men may know him through his Son. That they may know his justice, that they may know his love, his grace, and so on. Revealed through his Son, the reprobate will know God in his wrath. They will know God in his justice. But they will never know God in his love. They will never know God in his mercy. And therefore, they will never know God. Because to know him in part is not to know him. That is not eternal life. It is eternal death. So it was with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So it was with Judas. So it was with Ananias and Sapphira. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did not desire to know God. Say they were members of the church too. Yes. But what did they desire? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they desired a position in the church. But the Lord had not given to them that position. But they did not desire to know God. Judas did not desire to know God. What did he desire, children? He desired money, gold, and silver. But he did not desire to know God. Ananias and Sapphira did not desire to know God. No, they desired what? Certain reputation among the people. Do we desire to know God? There are so many reasons that a person joins himself to the church of God. But it is not all with a desire to know the only true God. Thus we may examine ourselves. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You can read of Saul of Tarsus that he thought that he knew the only true God. Did he? He did not. Why not? Because he did not know Jesus Christ, whom he had sent. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He did not know him. The only thing he knew was a self-meriting work holiness. Then we do not know the only true God. The apostle Saul of Tarsus, he did not know God in his holiness. In the perfection of his holiness, as he sought to keep that law, and who thought that he kept that law sufficiently, he did not know the only true God. He did not know him in his perfect righteousness, that he cannot step over a single sin. Saul of Tarsus did not know the true God in his wisdom, that he was able to make mercy and truth meet together. The wisdom of that God. He did not know that. That he could make righteousness and peace to kiss each other. He did not know that only true God because he did not know Jesus Christ, whom he had sent. He did not know him in his love, that he would send his only begotten Son. Even Paul says, while we were sinners. He did not know him in his grace. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and sin. Oh, he did not know that only true God, because he did not know Jesus Christ, whom he had sent. Do you know him? How can a man come to know him? How can a man come to know Jesus Christ, whom he had sent, in order that he may know the only true God and that he may receive eternal life? How may he know him? I hope you can answer that, young people. Peter knew him. You read that in the Word of God. For whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did he know that? Christ says, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The only way a man can come to know Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent, by the revelation of the Lord. What does Paul say? It pleased God to reveal his Son in me. Oh, did the Lord ever reveal his Son? That you may know Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent, in order that you may know the only true God. How does that go? How does that go when the Lord, he reveals unto a man, Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent? Do you know what we read of the Apostle Paul? When the Lord revealed him unto him, we read, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. Fell off his eyes. One moment he cannot see him. So blind. And then the Lord opens his eyes. The scales come off. And then they may see him. Was it not the same with Luther? Is that the same with Luther? What was he doing? Then he was busy. He was busy in that Word of God. Why? Oh, in that Word of God is where we may learn about that only true God. And he desired to know that only true God. Busy in those holy scriptures. And then, as he cried after knowledge, as he lifted up his voice for understanding, as he sought for her as silver, oh, then the Lord opened his eyes. And then he saw. Then he saw Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. And then he knew. And then he knew. Not just justice, but also mercy of that only true God. Oh, do you know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent? What an insight the Lord gave to those affectionate servants of Naaman the Syrian. Oh, how they loved their master. Oh, how they wished that he would receive a cure from that incurable disease. And how they have approached him in his rejection. Oh, to say to him, my Father, if the Lord had now bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much more when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? What a moment. What a moment that was. When that word came unto Naaman the Syrian. All decisive moment. And when the scales fell from his eyes, and when his heart was conquered, what a moment that is, when the Lord, he is opening the eyes of a sinner. In rejection of that way of grace, the Lord taking those scales away, that he may see that his heart may be broken. What a moment, an all decisive moment. When that people, when they may then go down to dip in that Jordan 7 times, and when they may experience flesh that is as the flesh of a little child. Oh, that is a people who are taught to know Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. They do not know him just from the doctrine, boys and girls. They know him in their heart. Oh, they know the fruit, the consequences of that knowledge, of the changing of the will, when they may feel and experience something of that cleansing from sin. Oh, that is now the people that are taught to know the only true God. Then they learn to know not only his condemning power, but also what he has accomplished in his only begotten Son. Oh, then the Lord instructs them step by step, one point after another point, not all of them the same, one more, one less. The Lord revealing unto that people Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent, that they might know him in his states, in his natures, in his benefits, in his works, in his person. That is now the people for whom Christ has received power. Power, we read here, that he should give eternal life unto everyone that is given unto him by his Father. They may experience something of that life. Already here below, a little. A little of that communion. A little of that submission. A little of that bowing. A little of that cleansing. Life. Life. Eternal life, O congregation, do we desire it? Do we desire eternal life? That is what we lost in paradise. Everything. Everything outside of this life is death. Will we now be honest with our own selves when we go out that door today? Do we then have to blame the Lord? Do we have to blame the Lord? Why did he yet find fault? Who hath resisted his will? Or is it really true that in our heart is no desire for this life? Eternal life. What a judgment that shall be one day. When the heathen will say to us on the bottom of that pit, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You never said to me about it. And you yourself have never entered in. for lack of desire. Bunyan's pilgrim, he fled. He fled that city of destruction, crying, life, life, eternal life. That is now the fruit of that new birth. A sensibility of our death. Those that desire that life will seek it. Those that seek it shall find it. That is not our word. That is the word of the Lord. Unchangeable word of God. Oh, may the Lord show to us where our true happiness lies. In the knowledge of that only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. This is life eternal. Amen. O Lord, it is but a few words, and they are all so short from our sight. But wilt thou bless them? Wilt thou bring them in the heart of young and old. Give an arrow, O Lord, in our hearts that we have no desire for eternal life, but that it may be born, O Lord. Thou didst speak of it to thy disciples. Thou didst say what it is. And so it remains. O grant it then to us and our children, that thy word may never testify against us in that great day of days. Dismiss us with thy blessing, forgiving all that is amiss and sinful. We acknowledge thee for thy help. Help us in the week to come. Gather with us when we gather to bring thy word, and when a young couple hopes to be married, and when we hope to gather for an Ascension Day service. Oh, give a desire for that eternal life, and that thy word may be used for that end. Forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 16, stanza 4. Thou, Lord, art a refuge for all the oppressed. All trust thee who know thee, and trusting are blessed. For never, O Lord, did thy mercy forsake the soul that has sought of thy grace to partake. Stanza 4 of 16.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.